you, Matthew. Greetings, everyone. My name is Rob Hogarth. I'm ICANN's Senior Policy Director and your host for the call today. Welcome to this second of two orientation calls we have organized to provide a general overview to GNSO work team volunteers. We really appreciate you guys taking the time to do this prior to the Mexico City meeting. The inspiration actually was twofold for having these orientation calls. One was the realization that we were getting many new faces volunteering to participate in the process, and we felt that it was important to make an effort to bring everybody up to speed and sort of level the discussion playing field for everyone. There are some folks who've been involved in this process since the early stages of the review, and others who are just participating, and so we thought it might help to have this broader orientation. The other aspect of it is there's a lot to accomplish in Mexico City. You all are going to have many, many meetings, relatively brief time for these initial work team discussions, and so we also thought to maximize your time in Mexico City, we could do some of the updates and quite frankly, just some of the general orientation efforts, so you wouldn't have to do that in Mexico City. And maybe you'll hear some voices or some old friends that you'll be able to reconnect with as well on this call. So for the next 45 minutes or so, my colleague Julie Hedlund and I are going to provide you, we hope, with a useful general overview of the GNSO improvements process, how your efforts as members of the various work teams will fit into that overall process, and generally where everything begins to tie together. We'll take a tour of the various general areas of the quote-unquote improvements recommendations endorsed by the ICANN board, and talk briefly about the initial agendas that each work team will be addressing in the coming weeks. We had nearly 20 volunteers express interest in joining one of the two orientation calls. Some of your colleagues who had the foresight to join at the late or early hour on the first call had a rather interesting gathering. There were only about three of us on that one. And so the experience today is slightly different probably in terms of timing. You know, what we had hoped was that we'd be able to go through the whole thing in about an hour and seem to pull that off pretty well. But that was with just about two or three people asking questions. We do have a bigger group today. Please don't hesitate to ask questions, but I caution that, and I apologize ahead of time, that we may go over by about 5 or 10 minutes if our experience last night is any indication. As our first order of business, Julie, if you could take a quick roll. I think you had the RSVP list to give everybody a sense of who's joining them on the call.
Yes, of course. And, of course, we know already it's you, Rob, and myself. Also from ICANN staff, we have Margie Milam, Marika Konings, otherwise volunteers for the meeting, we have J. Scott Evans, Ram Subutipur, Liz Williams, Nacho Amados, Carolyn Greer, Paul Diaz, Jamie Wagner,
yes.
Mike O'Connor, Michael Young, Ron Andrus, Mason Cole, Chris Taplow, Krista Papuk, Hector Amanoff, others who had hoped to join us, and I'm not sure if they were going to make it, was Ray Fassett, Cheryl Langdon Orr. It says that she would like to come a bit later, so she may join us, and Olga Cavalli was hopeful to join. I'm not sure if she'll be able to.
Great. Thanks, Julie. The only other person that I do know on the phone is Ken Bauer. Welcome, Ken. And is there anyone's name that we didn't mention?
This is Jeff Newman. I'm on the call.
Great. Thank you very much, Jeff. And I'd like to give a special acknowledgement to Jay Scott and to Jeff. They are the co-chairs of the TPSC, and we really appreciate them joining this call and hope that they can provide some insights as well as some of the questions there at that. So thanks, guys, very much for joining us. Before we take another step, there is one critical message for all of the volunteers on this call, and any of you who may subsequently be listening to the recording, and that's a brief but emphatic thank you. Because either as individuals or as representatives of a GNSO constituency or through some other connection, you're offering your time and effort, your expertise, and your own unique perspective, quite frankly, to bring life to a series of recommendations, suggestions, and in some cases visions developed over many, many hours and a couple of years by members of the ICANN community from a variety of different parts of the industry. In some cases, those recommendations are quite specific. In others, you know, the visions have been painted quite generally, and they're subject to widely different interpretations. So your efforts over the next several months are going to bring, we hope and expect, some clarity and specificity to those recommendations, and we really appreciate your willingness to devote your time to this process, so thank you. Let me do a quick review of our agenda. I'm going to start with a background and provide you with the general objectives of the GNSO improvements process, the areas of improvements identified by the community and agreed to by the board. Julie's going to describe the specific ICANN board recommendations that were adopted for GNSO improvements. I'll give a very brief overview of the GNSO Council reorganization and the phased implementation to the new structure that's been set out that everyone is targeting. Julie will then address the broader steering committee and work team structure, and then I'll wrap up with a brief description of the work team rules, as well as some of the key references and web resources that you guys will undoubtedly be availing yourself in the coming weeks. Julie circulated the slide deck to you all. We're going to follow the order of the slide deck. At the end of each slide, we'll pause briefly and ask if there are any comments or questions. If there's more than one of you who has some questions, we'll take a cue. Understand that we will be available post-meeting, post-call for email and other questions. So if we don't get to your questions on this call, we'd be delighted to do some follow-up with you as well. And, you know, if you look at it, out of the 20 slides, we've got about 13 that are truly substantive, so I think we'll have a good period of time to be able to devote to each one and I hope answer the bulk of the questions. Before we get started with slide two, does anyone have any brief questions or comments before we get started? Great. Thank you very much. I'll get started. If those of you who have it available to you can turn to slide two, you'll see it titled GNSO Improvements, Background, and Key Objectives. I think the overall mindset that many of you who are new to this process need to appreciate is that ICANN has a consistent and constant commitment to reviewing its ongoing processes and structures. And all of the GNSO structures are subject to this review process. It generally takes place every 2 to 3 years. Some of you know that the GNSO review itself started back in the early 2005 timeframe, and in some respects a little bit earlier than that with some of the initial independent reviews. So this is a process that has gone probably longer than the typical review process is intended to take. I think that's the product of a lot of community involvement, a lot of questions asked by members of different parts of the ICANN family, and so we have a very comprehensive sort of set of improvements now that we're moving toward. In terms of general objectives, I think it's important to note that there were four primary objectives that were outlined very early in the process, and one of the keys was that we'll constantly be referring back to is the need, one, to maximize stakeholder participation, to really identify ways that ICANN can broaden not only the numbers of people who participate, but find ways to make those participants more knowledgeable, more active in terms of the processes that they use to participate in ICANN activities. The major area, and it really takes into play the next two bullets, is that ensuring as policy development processes are implemented and instituted, that those policies are clearly defined, that everybody has a very good understanding of what the issues are before things start, so that there can be ultimate clarity to the policies that are ultimately decided by the board and by the community. And it's very important, as one of those bullets notes, that those processes start with thoroughly researched, well-scoped objectives and operate in a manner that is consistent, that everybody understands, and that is objective. Those are going to be some tremendous challenges that those of you on the PPSC work teams with respect to the policy development process and the working group model will really be asked to look at carefully. And the broader overall message that I think the community shared with many of the independent reviewers very early in the process was a real need to improve communication, not only with GNSO, between participants in the policy development process, but between the GNSO and other ICANN structures. Over the last couple of years, I think many of you have observed that those connections with other ICANN structures are improving, and there's a lot more outreach, but I think there's a recognition that there's still a lot of work to be done in that area. That's going to be one of the potential areas of focus for the communications work team. Does anyone have any questions on this first slide or any of the concepts?
No.
Great. Well, as we move forward, to take a brief silence of assent and just move on. Slide number three was the five main areas of improvement, and none of you will be surprised when I say that those five areas generally track the five work teams that you have all volunteered to be members of. The five main areas that were identified as the BGC went through its recommendations and as there was a lot of community dialogue was overarchingly a restructuring of the GNSO Council to move it more to a strategic management role as opposed to a legislative body driven by votes and politics. There will be many challenges, I think, that the GNSO operations team finds in terms of working out how some of those operations will take to be implemented going forward. But a general sense, and again, a shift of the focus and participation levels that take place within the GNSO Council. Two critical areas at the top of the slide, of course, are revising the policy development process and really finding ways to improve that on comments that the community has shared, and doing it in a way that utilizes a working group model of policy development. Some of you who've been involved in the GNSO Council over the last year have noticed much more of an emphasis on working groups, and the work team that's going to gather to discuss a working group model will really look to expand on some of that work that's already been done, develop new recommendations for how working group models can really be efficient and effective in this new structure. At the bottom of the slide, two of the very important components were to enhance the existing constituencies and provide opportunities for new constituencies to participate in the GNSO processes. There's some debate recently about the primacy and the foundational element of constituencies as part of the GNSO structure, and the work team that gets involved in enhancing constituencies and talking about constituency operations will really be talking about some of the practices that the various constituencies engage in, some of the tools they use, and generally how they operate in very broad ways, not only within the GNSO, but more broadly in the community. And then finally, in the bottom right corner there, the real critical component of improving communications, and I touched on that in the previous slide. Any questions on slide three? Great. What I'd like to do now, I'm sorry, did somebody say they had a question? Great. What I'd like to do is stop talking myself for a couple moments and let Julie walk us through some of the broader recommendations as they applied it to each of those particular areas. Julie, if you can do that without, I jumped into some of them, so without doing too much repetition, that would be great.
Sure, Rob, I'll try not to repeat too much. As Rob noted, the next five slides, starting with slide five do track to the five areas of improvement. These are the specific ICANN board recommendations for each of these areas. So starting with slide five, we're looking at the revision of the PDP process. And you know, Rob talked about that somewhat, but essentially the board's recommendations revolved around the development of the new PDP rules and recognizing that these rules would align with the contractual requirements and bylaws of ICANN. Again, since there is some crossover between these recommendations, they also apply to the changing role, the transitional role of the GNSO Council from a legislative body to the role of a strategic manager overseeing policy development. And part of these new rules are emphasizing, the recommendations emphasize in particular the need for work to be done before the launch of a working group dealing with a particular developing a new policy, and in particular there's the emphasis on public discussion, fact finding, expert research, and defining the scope, objective, and schedule for the specific policy development goal, as well as the recognition of the need for flexibility in the timing and the number of process steps to achieve each goal. Finally, the council recommends that there should be periodic assessments as to the effectiveness of the new policy development process rules, and this should be done through the use of metrics so we can really get a good handle on how well the new process is working. Any questions on that slide before I move forward? Okay, quickly moving to the next one, we're looking at the recommendations relating to the adoption of a working group model, again, very closely aligned with the PDP process, and again, we're looking at recommendations really revolving around what should a new working group look like, what would the rules say the how the working group should operate, and keeping in mind as we get into sort of the structure of the working teams, a lot of these specifics are things that the work group team under the PPSC steering committee are going to be working out. But the recommendations talk about the need for work groups to be broadly representative, balanced, and knowledgeable. They should have a strong, experienced, and respected chair who can play a neutral role. The goal of the work group should be open, honest, and respectful consensus. And in order that working group participants understand the various interests of that each one is bringing to the group, the board recommended that there should be statements of interest and declaration of interest forms for each work group member. And then the board recommends that the council should review the budget implications of moving to a work group model to ensure that there's going to be sufficient staff support, infrastructure, and funding. And I should mention, actually, each of these slides, if you'll notice at the bottom, mention the role of the work team, that last item. And in each case, your work teams, you know, for each of these areas will be you will be involved in establishing the charters for these groups, the procedures and norms, say, for instance, that the working group will follow. Any questions with this? Okay, moving on. We're now looking at the recommendations relating to enhancing constituencies on slide 7. There are several recommendations here relating to rules governing the constituencies. How should they be changed? What should constituency participation look like? And so the board has recommended that constituencies should operate in a representative, open, and transparent manner. Their processes should be standardized, clearly stated, accessible, and democratic. And this, again, gets back to what Rob was speaking of before, the need to broaden participation, the need to get information out to potential participants, and really this whole outreach effort is a very key part of the constituency recommendations, and that goes to the next point, that the recommendation is that the constituencies should be global and also should support multiple languages in their participation rules. And also there should be a centralized registry of participants of all constituencies and others involved, so that everybody knows, you know, who the members are and, you know, what their interests are and so on. And in order to help the constituencies in this very important outreach role, the board recommends that there should be a toolkit providing services, administrative, and other functions for each of the constituencies to use as they see fit. Any questions with this one? Okay, I'll move on to slide 8, recommendations on improving communications. And again, this is you'll notice that there's a lot of crossover among these recommendations, and many of these really will have bearing on how each of the work teams look at their various goals and objectives. Particularly, communications is something that one could see really falling across the board in a number of areas. The main recommendation has to do with the design of the websites, and to improve it, make it easier to, this is GNSO, but other ICANN websites too, for instance, constituency sites, making it easier to locate information, provide access to archives, link to other websites, and also to access documents and manage documents, and that these documents should be multilingual, and they should be easy to access, to print, and to port. And again, you'll notice that this is very much a piece of this whole outreach effort that is tied into constituency and other recommendations. Again, the recommendations say that there should be more frequent contacts between the GNSO Council and other structures within ICANN, the supporting organizations, for instance, and the advisory committees. And the goal is here to improve board member awareness of GNSO issues and coordinate policy activities across ICANN bodies. So again, all of these recommendations in the five areas are very much tied together, and I think as we move to the work team structure, you'll see that there's probably going to be a little bit of overlap in some of these goals and objectives. Any questions here?
Thank you.
Thank you. Rob, if you'd like to carry on with slide 9.
Great, Julie. Thank you. There are a variety of presentations for slide 9. There's the 2-hour version. I'll give you the 2-minute one. What you see before you in this presentation is the new GNSO Council organization that the board hopes the community will be able to transition to by this June. The irony, I think, as you look at this, is one of the primary recommendations from the early independent reviewer that we've talked about is that the council will move from a legislative model to more of a manager. And in the community compromise that pulled together the new council structure, we have used the term bicameral voting structure, which you see revealed here on the slide. That does not change the original recommendations that the council shift its focus to be much more of a manager. As you look at the structure here, and it may be better to have offline discussions about some of the details, you really see a breakdown and a renewal of an explanation of this two-house structure where you have a balance between contracted and non-contracted parties. Then beneath those, you see the sort of new layer of structures that BGC recommended that the board endorsed of stakeholder groups, where you have a registry stakeholder group, a registrar stakeholder group, a commercial stakeholder group, and a non-commercial stakeholder group, which will be populated by the various ICANN constituencies. And this week, the various groups who are putting together stakeholder group petitions, the new charters and structures for those groups, will be making submissions to the board. Those will be going on public notice, and the community will have additional opportunity to discuss how those stakeholder groups operate, how they interact with the constituencies, and there will be many more opportunities as well in the work teams to have some of those discussions. Does anyone have any questions with the only admonition that I don't want to get too much into the weeds on this slide?
Yes, I have a question.
Certainly.
This is already established, or it's subject to discussion.
This organizational structure has been established and approved by the board. The structure was reached by a very intense working group effort created by the board last summer, where members of each of the constituencies, the GAC and the ALAC, basically locked themselves in a virtual room for 30 days and forged this compromise. There was a different proposal on the table at the time that members of the community did not support, not all, but many members of the community did not support, and so the board created this extra working group to give the community an opportunity to forge this compromise. So this structure has been approved. How it operates, how the different pieces interact, are largely subject to many of the discussions the work teams are going to be having within the parameters approved by the board. And like I said, I could talk about that for another half hour or so. If you'd like, as we get toward the end of the presentation, I can point you to several documents that can provide a little bit more detail. And then we could have offline conversations about it. I'd be delighted to do that.
Okay, thank you.
Rob, this is Ron Andruff. I have a question.
Yes.
The question is, with regard to the nominating committee appointees, can someone shed the logic as to why we need to have a nominating committee in the two houses and one on council? What is the value that these individuals are bringing to this group?
If I can summarize some of the discussions that took place within the working group, part of the working group conversations, including members of the nominating committee, who still felt very, very strongly that that independent voice remain part of the new council deliberations. If you'll recall, there are presently three nominating committee appointees on the GNSO council, all in voting capacity. The compromise that the working group reached was, in order to achieve a measure of consensus, was to maintain three nominating committee appointee seats on the board, but to shift the role of one of them from a voting member to a non-voting member, sort of playing the role as a participant in the overall structure of the council, but not being tied to either of the two party houses. The two nominating committee appointees that will participate in the two houses will have votes, and in fashioning voting thresholds for how the new council will make decisions, that role was a critical one because some of the voting thresholds look to majority decisions or majority votes of some of the houses, in some cases 60% votes, and so the role of the nominating committee appointees moving forward will continue to be a significant one.
I don't understand the logic at all. Unfortunately, this sounds like we have kingmakers, because if anyone says that these three individuals are independent thinkers, I take umbrage. I like to think I'm an independent thinker. I think you are. I think everyone on this call is an independent thinker. While I may be a member of the business users constituency, that does not inhibit my independent thinking. And the idea of three kingmakers who will one on the board, one on the council, certainly not, but in the two houses, the one's going to take a vote, I think is absolutely anathema to what we're trying to achieve here as a bottom-up, consensus-driven organization.
Thank you for those comments. You are not alone in expressing that, and I'd suggest sort of as we move forward in terms of future public comment periods and the rest, certainly in other forums, please do not hesitate, as I know you won't, Ron, to share that point of view.
This is Jamie Wagner. I may I complement my question?
Yes, sir.
What I understand from the previous structure is that the commercial stakeholder group is losing three members, and the non-commercial stakeholder group is gaining three members. So My question is, papers you mentioned that they described the discussions that were held previously, they leave clear why this occurs. Is it the discussions established the reasoning behind this losing of power of the commercial stakeholder group?
Yeah, if I can address that briefly at the risk of taking us completely away from the work team discussion, I think that the best way
I just want to know if the papers you, because I'm coming, I'm volunteering now, and I'm very grateful for you to give this briefing, but I just want to know if the papers you mentioned leave this clear.
Yes, if you refer to the GNSO improved information page that we show on a slide later in the presentation, that page has references to every stage of the process with links to all the documents that have made up this, you know, going on now 3.5-year review process. So I'd be delighted to have you take a look at that, and if you have follow-up questions on this, we'd be happy to answer them.
Okay, just because I don't see the logic, but if I'm late in the discussion, I wouldn't like to cause problems, you know.
Yeah, thank you. And I think one of the challenges is, I think many members of the community who were involved in the working group that fashioned this compromise acknowledged that it was a compromise. It was not the ideal situation. Clearly, when folks are involved in negotiations like this, it creates answers that folks aren't completely happy with, and everybody walks away with some disappointments, I think. I think the key is going to be, as a community, to find ways to make sure that this operation can work effectively, and again, as work team volunteers, you're going to have a role in that, and certainly as you become more knowledgeable about this, will ultimately be more knowledgeable constituency members who can also express that within those structures as well. Thank you all for the questions on that. The challenge is always being too brief and then not touching on some of the questions that may come up, and otherwise being too detailed and spending too much time. I think we achieved a good balance there. Thank you. I'll just touch briefly on the next slide. Basically what the board said is, if we're going to achieve the June goal of seating a new council, we really have to break down the phases to work through in a programmed way how we're going to accomplish this, and this slide reflects that. Essentially, the idea of the council coming up with a plan for transitioning to the new council, ability of existing constituencies to share with the board how they've been operating, how their current charters reflect the bylaw principles of openness, transparency, fairness and representativeness, an ability on the part of the new stakeholder groups to come forward and say, here are our plans consistent with the overall recommendations, and then finally the ability of the constituencies then to be able to enact the processes set up by the stakeholder groups, get folks elected, and give people the opportunity by Sydney to at least sit in this new structure. Some of the work that you will be doing as work teams will define what rules ultimately those new council members will operate under. I think as you're all beginning to see in terms of some of the discussions we're having now, meeting that June timeframe is a significant challenge. The good news is that's really a council obligation. From your standpoint as work team members, your deliberations do not have that time frame tied to them. You'll be able to set benchmarks and milestones that are a little bit less rigorous than that. That'll be a decision you and your chairs make. Any comments on the phases and the timetable? Questions? Great. Julie, I'll turn over to you to do a quick overview of the policy process and operation steering committees and the work teams, and then I'll talk a little bit about how they'll work together.
Great. Thanks so much, Rob. Yeah, just very quickly, the next two slides show really where the structure came from, the establishment of the steering committees, and then how the steering committees relate to the work teams. Specifically, back in May 2008, the GNSO created an implementation planning team to put in place these recommendations, which included GNSO leadership, constituency representatives, ICANN staff, and a board liaison. In October of this past year, the implementation planning team came out with their report and recommended this structure, which is that there would be two steering committees, the Policy Process Steering Committee, which would oversee all efforts to enhance the policy development process, including serving as the coordinating body for separate teams tasked with developing proposals for the new working group model and the PDP procedures. The other steering committee is the Operations Steering Committee, which oversees efforts to enhance the GNSO structure, constituencies, and communication. So there you have essentially your five work teams underneath these two steering committees, and I'll show you that structure in the next slide. But I think it's important to note that the purview of the steering committees is a bit different than that of the work teams. Steering committees are focusing on processes and practices, but not on GTLD policies. They will create and coordinate implementation of the work teams, but the work teams will have their own remit. They will oversee development of recommendations, establish the work team charters and milestones, which the work teams can then modify as they see fit, and the steering committees will report to the GNSO Council as appropriate. So passing on, and maybe I'll just quickly do these two together. They're very much related, and then at the end of these two slides, I'll be happy to answer any questions you have. Looking at slide 12, we see the steering committee and work team organization. You have the council. From that, you have the two steering committees. Underneath the policy process steering committee, we have the new PDP work team and the working group team. And the PDP work team, as you might imagine from the name, will develop the proposals for the new policy development process, just in brief. And the working group team will develop proposals for the new work group model. Under the operations steering committee, we have three work teams. The GNSO operations team develops any changes that are needed to the GNSO structure and role relating to the recommendations, such as becoming a strategic manager of the policy process instead of a legislative body, as we described earlier. The constituency operations team will propose the very important outreach efforts, encourage broader participation in stakeholder groups, and enhance the constituencies. And also the communications team will develop proposals to improve GNSO communications, including coordination with other ICANN structures, members of the board, supporting organizations, and advisory committees. I should mention that we're very lucky to have several of the interim chairs for the work teams, and one of the interim chairs, and we also have, but more importantly, we have the chairs of the two steering committees, and I was wondering if either Jay Scott or Jeff Newman wanted to speak at all to their areas. And I don't mean to put you on the spot.
This is Jay Scott.
This is, not a problem.
No, that's okay. This is Jeff Newman. I mean, I think... we're going to go into detail on, at least with respect to two work teams for the PPSC. We plan on the kickoff meeting on Saturday to go into real detail about what the PDP is and specific board recommendations to, what they would like to see evaluated before we break off into individual work team sessions. So I think this is a really good orientation. If anyone's got any questions, initially, I'd be happy to answer them, but I think we'll get into the nitty-gritty detail on Saturday.
Yeah, and just,
Michael
Scott, and just to let you know, for those that are hear that PTSD has done some preliminary work in order to give each work team a jumping off point, so you're not starting necessarily with a whiteboard. You're starting with some suggested parameters that can jumpstart discussions so that we can move this process forward.
Great. Thank you. That's very helpful. And again, I didn't mean to put you on the spot. I just wanted to see if you had anything you'd like to add. But I think that's a very important point. You know, there's a lot of work to be done, but a lot of these recommendations are really just jumping off points for the work teams, and the teams themselves will be the ones to decide how to approach some of these recommendations and the best way to address them.
Mike O'Connor, I'd like to get in the queue.
Yes, please, Mike.
Question for, is there going to be remote participation to those meetings, Jeff and Jay Scott, do you know?
I believe so, and I think Glenn has already posted that information to the list.
Okay.
But in case, you know, Mike, I know you've been on vacation and you've probably got 5 million emails. If you'd like, I will call through mine, and if I can find it, I'll send it to you, and you just need to look for something for me today.
That'd be great.
This is Glenn. I'll post it to you immediately, Mikey.
Okay. Thank you, Glenn.
Okay.
Thanks.
Great. That's very helpful. Any other questions? Great. Well, thank you very much for that. I'd like to turn this back over to Rob so that he can briefly touch on some of the work team rules. Rob?
Thank you, Julie. I'm sorry. I'm waxing very eloquently on mute. What we've done over the next two slides is try to highlight for you some of the key elements of the work team rules, what we recommend prior to you joining the meetings in Mexico City, whether remotely or in person, is to take a look at the draft charters for each one of your teams. I think that will help sort of bring you up to speed on some of the thoughts that the steering committees at least have been developing in terms of a general approach to things. I think it's fair to say, and please, Jay Scott or Jeff, correct me if I'm wrong, that the efforts of the OSC and the PPSC with respect to work team rules was to create some general parameters and guidelines. As Julie mentioned, you know, there'll be opportunities for you to really, as work team members, define the milestones, to define sort of your benchmarks in terms of what looks like progress and how you're going to achieve that. But in terms of just general operational rules, so that everybody is comfortable that the products, the recommendations that are coming out of the work teams are reached with consistent processes. Obviously, a very important consideration that everybody understand and know what the position is, what the interests are of other parties. So just about all of you, I think, have already provided Glenn with a statement of interest. The real very critical element that I know has been the subject of some significant discussions within the PPSC is this rough consensus model and really what does it look like, how do you define it, really being sure about knowing that when you get there. I think it's important to note that there is a distinction between how the steering committees operate and how the work teams operate, in that the work teams, in their effort to ultimately provide recommendations to the board, are looking at full consensus of the membership. So you as work team members will, you know, really be where the rubber hits the road in terms of identifying different options, coming up with recommendations for how to deal with implementing a lot of the things that the community has developed so far. What you'll do is then achieve a rough consensus, and I don't have the bullet points in front of me, Jeff and Jay Scott, but essentially the chair making a decision at a certain point saying, okay, I think we have a rough consensus here. This is going to be our working proposal or recommendation. Those of you who don't agree, let's identify those concerns and report them up the ladder to the steering committees. The steering committees are then not only in that role of managing and coordinating things in terms of the jurisdictions of each of the work teams and potential conflicts there. But then the full steering committee is saying, okay, you know, how do we now go to the GNSO Council and ultimately to the board with something that everybody can agree to, mindful of these significant discussions that have taken place at the work team level. So that discussion, I think, early on in the process, having all of you comfortable within your own working teams as to how you'll achieve that rough consensus when you know you are there, I think will be very important. It may take a little bit of extra time at the beginning, but I think it'll pay off toward the end when, you know, potentially there are differences of opinion. It'll be important that everybody understands what the ground rules are.
Robert, this is Jay Scott. A couple of points there. First, and I think Jeff will agree with me, the ultimate aim is to get a unanimous consensus. That's the hope, is to try to strive for that. But with the reality that that may not be possible, we work on a rough consensus model. Secondly, we're not starting from scratch here because over the last 18 months or so, working group models under a rough consensus model have been used in ICANN for several of the major processes that ICANN has worked through. So we're not completely inventing the wheel here.
Yeah, I think that's, to jump in, I think that's exactly right. And I think, you know, Rob just went over some of the work team rules, but it's kind of ironic that we have work team rules and we have a working group that's actually going to look at work team rules. So the work team rules that have been established by the PPESC for the two work teams and to the same extent the OSC for their work teams is actually all, you know, could potentially be modified by the working group work team. And so we don't want to, by developing these initial work team rules, we're not foreclosing any changes or trying to steer the working group work team in any kind of direction. And that's kind of important. It's weird, kind of circular in the sense that you're creating work teams for a working group for a work team that's supposed to be creating the rules. But we kind of have to start somewhere. And, you know, I know that although Rob said that the chair ultimately makes the call, Jay Scott's right. We're going to strive for unanimous consensus and, you know, rough consensus where that's not possible, but definitely documenting all the positions. And there are, in the work team rules, ways to appeal if you don't agree with the chair. And it's a fairly short document I encourage everyone to read.
Yeah, and remember that no process is perfect. That's the reason we have layers for appeal and review before anything goes to the board, so that those people who do not agree feel as if they're being heard.
Excellent points, guys. Thank you very much. That's extremely helpful.
It's Cheryl here from the ALAC. I can only just reinforce exactly what was said over and over again. And recently we've been happily appending minority reports from some of the more verbally dexterous and vociferous amongst our little group to ensure that they feel that their voices are being effectively recognised and have the opportunity to be heard.
Great, thanks, Cheryl. Yeah, and I think that underscores that, you know, with the significant community discussion that's been taking place to date, that just in an organic way, in many respects, there have been changes in the way the GNSO operates. I think there has been much more openness to look at how other structures operate, as you indicate, Cheryl, in terms of the ALAC has really worked to make sure that there's full sharing of ideas and opportunities for minority points of view. So I think that the good news is we are on the right track here, and as Jay Scott pointed out, we are not reinventing the wheel. Briefly, just the second half slide there with respect to the work team rules, as the coordinators and managers of this process, the chairs of each of the work teams will be members of the steering committee. That enables the steering committees to have an opportunity for dialogue on what's going on with the different teams, getting a sense for at least what the timetables and, as we indicate here, milestones should be, trying to make sure that the trains run on time, that everyone's getting the resources that they need to be effective. The other aspect of that, of course, is that this is a new process for many of you and a very flexible process, and there may need to be modifications made along the way, and so it'll be very important to have that dialogue. The final critical element, of course, of all of this is to be examples as work teams and steering committees to make sure that all of your activities are quite transparent and open. The recording of discussions, the use of wikis and open email archives, so that everybody can see at any point in time what is going on, where are the discussions. Because an important element that will be still, I think, a management challenge down the road is that these work teams continue to be open to everybody. And so there may be additional volunteers that step forward who want to participate maybe weeks down the road. And so the management of those new players, of other folks who may just be hearing about some of these opportunities to volunteer, will be a challenge for all of you moving forward. Any comments or questions just generally about work team rules? Great, thank you. The next slide, slide 15, generally shows you an overview of some of the initial activities of the work teams. Jeff and Jay Scott, I think, have done a good job giving you a sense as to what's going to happen within the PPSC, and those two work teams, I think, are going to be very closely monitored, and participation may overlap from time to time just because the work that you guys are going to be doing needs to be closely coordinated. With respect to the OSC work teams, there will be very discrete areas, and whether that's website development, some types of communications, developing a toolkit of constituency services, there may be some very discrete areas where groups can operate quite independently. So we fully understand and appreciate that there will be a variety of ways to move forward with some of those. But in general terms, you know, there will be the initial face-to-face or in-person or on the phone kickoff meetings this coming weekend. One of the first critical steps, in addition to understanding the general inventory of issues that you're all going to need to discuss, is really to come to closure on the work team charters. I would expect that once you all come to consensus on those charters, you'll be sharing those with the steering committees to make sure that those are coordinated and managed effectively. You'll be looking to either confirm your existing interim chairs or identify new people who step up and are willing to take on that opportunity and burden of running those groups. And just, you know, in general, setting the stage for how you guys want to operate over the next several months. Some tasks are likely to take place in a very short period of time where you can come to some quick agreement. Others may take longer, and it will be up to you as work team volunteers to decide how to parse through that work and that effort. Jay Scott or Jeff, am I missing anything in terms of just general sort of things that you guys will be looking for from your work teams?
From my point, I think you covered it.
Okay, great. The next slide just reinforces, I think, Jamie's question earlier. There's obviously not going to be an opportunity to touch on everything in an orientation call or even in an initial work team meeting. There are a number of reference documents that you can take a look at just to familiarize yourselves with some of the unique workings of your own work team. As you'll note, many of the references that we've placed on slide 16, we've also supplemented and copied in the background links that Julie supplied to you in the email when she sent you the slide deck. Rely heavily on the GNSO Improvements webpage. That's where you'll find a lot of these references. The next slide just shows you a quick screenshot of that GNSO Improvements information page. It continues to be a work in progress. As you all begin to look at it more closely, please give us feedback if you can't find something, if you're having difficulty locating things. The goal was to have a resource for people to immediately get their hands on documents. In the early stages, for some of you who are still relatively new to the process, you may not even know what documents you aren't finding. And so please reach out to me, to Julie, to Ken Bauer, Margie Milam, any other members of the team, Liz Gaster and Marika Konings, who may be working with their team, to really get that information. It will be very helpful. It will make you more effective, and it will make the final work product, I think, even better. Slide 18 just gives you, and 19 just give you some quick screenshots of the social text wiki. You'll note being able to play off the GNSO improvements homepage. You may ultimately bookmark these yourselves, but each steering committee has a wiki, and each work team has a wiki. It'll depend on your own organizational culture, how much you want to use that to collaborate, but we do encourage you, in the spirit of transparency and openness, to publish all your documents on those wikis. They are open to the community to review. Some of you may decide to limit editing rights just to have some document control there, but there will always be opportunities for members of the community to comment on what you're doing, and you may want to assign somebody the task of, you know, checking those comments every once in a while to make sure that the community has that input for you. And then finally, the last slide, we've identified the primary responsibilities of the various staff members for different work teams. Understand we're being very flexible about that. There are going to be times where the policy development team is going to need some extra support. There will be times when OSD work teams are going to need extra support. So we're being very flexible from a staff perspective with the ultimate goal of giving you all the resources that you think you need. So if there are things that you guys don't have or that you think would be of more value, please let Glenn know. Please let any other of the staff initially responsible for your team that you need more resources, and we'll identify means to provide them to you. That basically concludes the slide deck, but you know, we wanted to provide a little bit of opportunity at the end for any overall questions, for something we may have skipped, for any concerns or questions. Do any of you have any at this time?
I just wanted to make sure of the schedule of the kickoff meetings on February 28th and March 1st.
Brent, and perhaps you can provide some guidance on that. Are you inquiring about a particular team?
Yes, the new PDP team and the working group team.
If you want, I could address that. This is Jeff.
Great, thanks.
On Saturday, we have planned from, and this is all local time in Mexico City, from 9 a.m. to until noon. That's the time that's been reserved for the PPSC and the work teams. At the beginning, from about 9 until 10:15 or so, we're going to meet as a group. So the two work teams and the PPSC will meet as a group. We'll go over some things about the PDP, go through kind of a run-through of what exists in the PDP today. Then we'll go through some information again on what the board has recommended specifically with respect to the PDP and working groups. We'll follow that up with a kind of a brainstorming session where we're just going to kind of throw out our perceptions as a group of the current PDP, some things that we've noticed, some issues we'd like to see examined. It's not really intended to be kind of a solution meeting where we're coming up with solutions to any of these, but just kind of throwing all the issues out on a whiteboard. Then we'll take a 15-minute break or so, and the rest of the time, so approximately 10:30 until noon, will be broken up into the individual work teams.
So it's on the it will be held on Saturday, yes?
Correct. So the only planned meetings at this point are for Saturday. Yes, Saturday morning.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah, and you should.
The problem is that I'm arriving in the, on Sunday. Yeah.
Well, yeah. So hopefully, there are a couple people in that position, but hopefully you'll be able to join by conference that Glenn has sent around.
Okay.
In terms from the, this is Rob, from the OSC side, the constituency operations is looking to meet on Saturday morning. And because of travel schedules, as you've indicated, the OST's other two work teams, the communications work team and the GNSO operations, will be meeting on Sunday. And then sort of as a flip on what the PPSC agenda is, the OSC is going to have a steering committee meeting late on Sunday. That'll give the various chairs an opportunity to report their progress from their initial work team meetings and allow the OSC, which hasn't met quite as often as the PPSC, the opportunity to sort of talk about next steps. And Glenn, just one other thing just to give folks some level of comfort. Because of this remote participation, we'll have the opportunity to record these meetings, so if anybody misses parts of them or can't make a specific meeting, they will have that opportunity to review the MP3 recording. Is that correct?
Yes.
Great, thank you. There's one other element and, you know, different dynamics on the previous orientation call from this, and I wanted to have one final opportunity to reinforce this thought. Again, one of the critical elements of the GNSO improvements is maximizing participation, and one of the recurring themes that is evident in community comments and the recommendations approved by the board is the vision of the GNSO becoming a truly global body. And so there are a number of, I think, underlying themes that you should all keep very much in mind, and that is a truly multilingual, multi-stakeholder engagement requires some significant changes, I think, in terms of the way the GNSO has operated to date that will create significant challenges for many of you as you come up with your concepts and ideas, proposals, and recommendations. And that's how do you run a policy development process in multiple languages and still get something done in less than 6 months? How do you conduct regular interpretation on ongoing calls that is live, that fits the needs of communities? How do you remain conscious of the fact, as we've had to with these orientation calls, where whether you're in Western Europe or Western Australia or Southeast Asia, that we've got the times that allow them to participate on a regular basis. When there are travel issues, how do you make sure that there are opportunities for people to listen in and have multilingual recordings of these events and discussions? So I think as I hear Cheryl potentially laughing in the background, there are issues that the AILAC has already addressed on some of these, and there are best practices that already exist out there. We should not feel as a community that we're limited to our own brain power, but please feel free and look toward reaching out to other members of the ICANN community, to perhaps other structures, even not in our industry but in others, that can provide some potential best practices, guidelines, or models that could work for us as well. I think we'll all be best served by that. Any final comments?
From the business constituency, on the communications team, well, anybody really, are you encouraging us to focus very much on our own teams or to keep an overview as well as what the other teams are up to, as it were?
That's a very intriguing question. There are elements, one could argue, of the communications work that does involve all the rest of these groups. Mason, I don't know if you wanted to take a stab at answering that question. I know you have a broader view of the communications.
Appreciate it's not a black and white answer. It was just a little bit of guidance, really.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Could you give me the question one more time?
As a member of the communications team, or indeed any of the work teams, are we encouraged to focus almost entirely on the work of our own team or to also keep a good eye on what the other teams are up to?
Rob, you may have to help me with that one. I mean, I can speak on behalf of the communications team by saying that, you know, we all have our work cut out for us, and anyone who has any kind of input that might be useful in helping us all communicate with each other better or help the GNSO as a whole learn how to communicate better, then I think we're certainly all ears, and we'd love to have that input. You know, Rob, do you have anything to add to that?
Only this one caution, and, you know, what we were trying to be very careful about is that all of you are giving of your time in this process and contributing your volunteer efforts to these discussions. What we are very concerned about is anyone burning themselves out or feeling like, oh, gee, this is just way too much. I just can't participate as much as I would like to. With that in mind, you know, the best use of your time is probably to be focused on your own work team. But, you know, to the extent that you have the passion and want to be aware of what's going on in other groups, have at it. The steering committees are in a position to play the coordination role to make sure that we aren't having collisions on different issues or folks are doubling up work that doesn't need to be done. It's unique from a communications perspective, and why I thought your question was intriguing, because, you know, in many respects, you'll be tasked with a variety of items, including, well, what's a good document management tool look like? And there may need to be interface between the communications team and the policy development team to say, hey, you know, we're looking at this. You guys, what do you think? Oh, my goodness, you've created a new process. We need to change our efforts. In short, that should be an obligation of us as staff members to sort of see where we're going to have those types of issues. But feel free to keep an eye on what other groups are doing.
Thank you.
Any other questions or observations? Well, thank you all very much. I think we stuck to our general timetable. I trust and hope that this was of some use to you and we streamlined things a bit. Please do not hesitate if either for connection or cultural reasons you weren't comfortable asking questions or able to ask questions on this call. Please follow up with us by email or telephone to get in touch with us, and we will be delighted to get back and clarify anything. And please, for any of your colleagues who weren't able to join, tell them that we've got a recording and they should feel free to listen. Great. Thank you all very much. With that, I'll ask Matthew to stop the recording. Thank you all, and see many of you in Mexico City in a couple of days.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thank you.